In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The matinal gospel for today, that we'll read in a few minutes, is the one about Thomas. And, well, of course, we read it on the Sunday of Thomas, and we talk about St. Thomas on that day, obviously. So I thought I'd talk about the beginning part of this gospel, which is really amazing. It's truly incredible what the Lord has called us to do. There are two things that really jump out for me at the beginning of this gospel. It says, the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It's the first thing he said to them as a group. It's very, very important. That's why we say, peace be unto you, many, many times in the services. Really, the Christian life is the pursuing of peace. Of course, you must know what peace is in order to pursue it. I would say the world thinks peace is when they get rest, relaxation, when they don't have worries about things that are happening or might happen, when they're comfortable financially, and those sorts of things. That's not the peace that Christianity promises us. The peace that Christianity promises us is for the soul to be without passion or without sin, without anger, without turbulence, without all those things that happen inside of us. That is the peace that passeth all understanding. And when we have anything approximating that peace, then we know God. To the extent that we have peace in our heart is the extent to which we can see God and know him, because God is basically peace. Christ is our peace. And so the Lord saying to them, peace be to you, is very significant. You should be seeking peace. So, in a general rule, you could say, if you have two ways to choose, the one that brings peace is the one that you should choose. I'm not talking about the kind of peace the world talks about now. Sometimes the world thinks of peace in terms of two enemies that agree not to fight with each other, even though they hate each other. That's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. I'm not talking about avoiding conflict. That has nothing to do with Christian peace. I'm talking about, in your soul, what should you pursue? The way in which the thing that you should pursue should bring your soul the most peace. So that leaves out, of course, anger and retribution and jealousy and all the rest, because none of those things ever bring the soul peace, ever. No matter what Hollywood movies say, exacting revenge does not bring the soul peace. Now, the Lord joins peace to a magnificent and awesome responsibility in this gospel. He says again, he shows them his hands and his side, but then he says, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And he said, as he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now he joined peace and the Holy Spirit and the remission of sins together. Of course, the Spirit brings peace. But the Spirit brings peace when he abides within us. And he abides within us when he finds a suitable habitation to live within. So we must carve out a place in our soul for the Spirit of peace. And when we have the Spirit of peace, then we have knowledge. And we have communion and union with God. But to a select few, he gives the right to remit sins. Now, this has to be joined with peace. Now, the church teaches, no matter how worthy or unworthy a priest is, whether he's peaceful or not, whether he's a good man or a bad man, a sinner or a saint, the actions of a priest are valid and efficacious. So when I serve the Divine Liturgy, I tell you emphatically and boldly that the Holy Eucharist is as holy as if St. Basil the Great was serving. There's no difference. When I pronounce remission of sins upon a person, despite my sins, the Lord hears my prayer because he chooses to, because he hears the prayers of his priests. That is an awesome and an incredible responsibility. So regardless of what kind of person I am, the Lord chooses to hear the prayers of his priests and of me as a priest. But he is joined to this awesome responsibility, the responsibility to have peace in our hearts, to minister with peace. Now that's a difficult thing. And with this responsibility, there are other ones that are just as godlike. It is godlike to forgive. He's telling me to be like God as a priest, to forgive people, to pronounce that their sins are not held against them. That is a godlike feat. Now, it can only be done because he chooses to tell me to do it. And if he tells me to do it, then certainly he would accept it when I do it. He has told us to do other things. The scripture says, the Psalms, ye are gods. Do you know that? We are to be godlike. Those of us who have children, we have created life. The Lord is not creating any more life out of the dust of the earth. He's choosing for us to create life. We are acting as gods. That's the teaching of the church. That's a great and an awesome responsibility. The Holy Eucharist, when it's served, that is a godlike thing. The bread and the wine do not become the body and blood of Christ unless a priest serves. Now, of course, they become the body and blood through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The priest cannot do anything. But God will not do anything without the priest being present and praying. So therefore, that's a godlike thing. I think we should remember this. We are creators of life. And even when you do anything good for someone, you are being like Christ. You're being like God. That's your task, to be like God, to forgive like God, to love like God, to comfort like our Lord Jesus Christ comforts. That's your calling. But it's joined to peace. And to the extent that there is peace in your heart, that's the extent to which you can fulfill your calling. I'm painfully aware of this. Now there are things that I'm called to do that I'm completely incompetent and unable to do without God filling the infirm vessel. So definitely, miracles happen all the time in my service, constantly. And yet I'm completely unworthy of them, but I'm supposed to be worthy of them. The Lord has said, peace be to you. And yet I don't live with peace. He said, peace be to you too. You must live with peace. If you are a creator of life, that is a parent, then you must also live with peace and instill peace in your children. This is a divine command. This is not an optional part of life. Not only is he giving you peace, but he's commanding you to become peaceful. It's truly awe-inspiring what the Lord has told us to do. You know the parable about the Good Samaritan. At the end of that parable, or near the very end, he says to the innkeeper, take care of him, and on the morrow when I return, I will repay you what I owe you. Now, there's all kinds of symbolism about the end of the age and the judgment and everything else. But also, it's very important to understand that that innkeeper is the church, and you're part of the church too, not just bishops and priests. And the Lord is telling the innkeeper, us, to take care of each other. He's not walking the earth anymore. He's requiring us to take care of one another. Us to comfort. Us to counsel. Us to rebuke. To teach. To heal. Of course, all healing comes from God. And all real comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. But we are to be agencies of the comfort and the healing. That is a great and awesome responsibility. Now, I think you might have noticed something with children, or if you're a teacher, or have had any time ever to be involved in teaching someone, dealing with someone who, let's say, doesn't have confidence, and they're messing up. If someone's messing up, but you see that there's potential in them, if you gently give them responsibility, something that they can handle, and trust them, then they improve. That's what the Lord's doing with us. He's giving us responsibility. He's telling us to do really awesome and incredible things. And as we do them, even if we do them poorly, things improve in us. We get better. We have more confidence. We see more things and feel God more close to us. Remember that. That's what God is doing to you. That's what you should be doing with your children, right? Giving them ever-increasing amounts of responsibility and teaching them and congratulating them when they do something that they couldn't do before. That's what God is doing with us. I've been a priest now for umpteen years, I think 18 years now. And I'm amazed to see the power of God working through me. I didn't see it as readily when I was a younger priest. I'm more aware of it now. And it's truly awe-inspiring. It's really frightening, actually. But he expects the same power to work through all of us. Now, of course, there's a priestly responsibilities, and there's the responsibilities of a deacon and a bishop and of a mother and of a father. Of course, we're not all called to the same exact things in life, but we are called to have peace in our hearts. We are called to act like Christ. We are called to be leaven and leaven the lump. We are all a royal priesthood. So the magnificent thing about this gospel is what the Lord is calling us to. Let's remember that. Now, I know that day by day our living is kind of mundane and we have all kinds of ups and downs and good days and bad days and all kinds of stuff happens and it's just very ordinary. But we're called to be extraordinary. I hope that sometimes you see a glimpse of that. You see something extraordinary through your sinful hands. Not for the sake of becoming proud, but that the Lord reveals to you that he wants to work through you. He's not working outside of you. He's working with you. So may God help you to work and to be full of peace. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.